The Titans game starts at 5:40. The young people that are assembled have a fellowship over on campus after this service is over. There is a finger food fellowship and baby shower over in the next building after this service is over, and I'm preaching. Expecting you to listen, while many of you are sitting there hoping and praying that the sermon will be short. What an audience. So many of the young people are here tonight, and we are grateful that you are here. Tremendous number of our university students, we're grateful you're here. People here tonight of all ages, from the smaller babies to those above 90, and all of us able to come together and worship God. Phil asked me a few days ago if I would direct the lesson tonight, especially to young people. And I'm doing that, although I find that most of the things that we say to young people apply to those of us that are just a bit older. I think there's something tonight in the lesson that can be helpful to all of us. You may have noticed that I flipped a coin a moment ago. There are two sides to this coin. I want to talk tonight about the other side of the coin, especially as we think about our young people and how important they are, many things that they face, and what we want to do to help them to make life successful. In the passage that Michael read a few minutes ago, he first read where Paul said, by the way, talking to the young man Timothy, flee. Give up some things. And we do a pretty good job telling you young people the things that you need to give up. But there's another side of the coin in that passage. After he said flee, he said follow. Fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Did you ever notice that there are three positives there after the one negative? Yes, he said there are some things to flee. But I'm of the opinion, and we preachers may be the most guilty, that we do a better job talking about the things we need to give up than the things we need to take up. The things we ought not to do more than the things that we ought to do. I'll share with you four or five ideas along this line tonight. Down through the years, I've preached sermons, you've heard sermons, you've seen the slogan that said to our young people, just say no. I believe if I remember right, there was a bumper sticker at one time that said that. Just say no. I remember speaking on a youth rally back a few years ago when that was the theme, just say no. And I don't have to take a long time to explain what we mean by that. Say no to drugs, especially say no to alcohol. Say no to the temptations to be involved in those physical activities that are reserved for marriage. Say no to immorality, and the list could go on and on. And I would not minimize, young people, that idea at all. There are some areas where we need to just say no and be big enough in a kind way to say no. There's another side of the coin, and that other side says just say yes. In fact, as you look at Jesus, just before he entered his teenage years at age 12 in Luke 2, you don't find a lot said or anything really said about what you're not to do, Jesus, or what he did not do, but it says he grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Tells us what he did do. And I think the life of Jesus as a teenager, though there's really nothing said about it, just indications from this verse and maybe a few others, was a life when he said yes. He said yes to respecting his parents. He said yes to respecting his God. And today we need to encourage our young people to say yes to worship. That's the best insurance against misbehavior in an assembly. To say yes to Jesus. Even ask what he would do as we have decisions to make. Say yes to opening the Bible and reading for ourselves and letting God's word be a message to us. Say yes to prayer. Developing at your age a life of prayer that is meaningful to you as you talk to God about the things that are important to you. Just say no, certainly. But there's another side of the coin. Just say yes. And saying yes to the right things will help you to say no to the wrong things. Another thing that I hear said a lot today about the younger generation is that they are the church of tomorrow. And that's true in one sense. Some of you young men that are sitting here tonight, 30, 40 years from now, will be elders. Some of you before that will be deacons. Some of you young ladies will be excellent Bible teachers, and you will be married to a supporting and helping a man who is an elder or a deacon in the church. When many of us that are a bit older are gone, you will be the church of tomorrow. I know that that is true, but I believe there's another side of the coin. And that is that you are a part of the church today. And when we realize that, it's going to have a big impact upon the growth of the church. When those of us in the older generation and middle generations realize that our young people are a vital part of our work today, that there are many things that they can do and are doing that are helping us to grow, and more things maybe that they can do and would do if we would give them the opportunity that would help us to grow faster in the Lord's work, numerically and spiritually, because they are a part of the church today. Those of you in the younger generation need to appreciate the wisdom of the older generation. And those in the older generation need to appreciate the energy of the younger generation. And somehow or other, we've got to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with those two ideas for the church to be what it ought to be today. Yes, you are the church of tomorrow, but there's another side of the coin. You're also a vital part of the church today. Paul, in talking about Timothy in the second chapter of Philippians, called him his son in the gospel. Timothy may have been a little older than most of you young folks here tonight, but he was still a young man as Paul looked at him, a young preacher of the gospel. Paul looked at him as his son. And when he went on his missionary journeys, he was ready to take some of these young men like Timothy and Titus with him because he realized that they were important, not just when Paul was gone, but while Paul was there. You are the church of tomorrow. But there's another side to the coin. You're also a part of the church today. Many times when we talk about youth work today, we almost immediately begin to think about what can we do to entertain our young people. And in some instances, it seems that that comes to the forefront, and a lot is said about entertainment, activities that will entertain. And I admit that sometimes I see attitudes among young people that almost suggest, here I am, entertain me. And there's nothing wrong with the right kind of entertainment. I enjoy being with you young folks when we're playing basketball, especially when we're eating and involved in other activities. And I'm thankful, and I think rightly so, that there are activities that involve entertainment, but there's another side of the coin, and you and the younger generation understand it better than we do. And that is that you want to serve. You want to do something for other people instead of just always having somebody do something for you. Some of the happiest times that our young people have spent in this congregation over the last few years with which I've been associated with the work, at least as I have viewed it, have been those times when there were programs planned where you as young people were doing something to help others. Maybe the folks that live out at the health care center. Maybe taking care of the yards of some of our older members who couldn't do that. Maybe having a dinner to honor the elders and their wives. But something where there is service. You have shown in so many instances that that part is important. Yes, there is the side of entertainment, but there's another side to the coin, and that's the opportunity to serve. And I speak tonight for our young people that it is my opinion that they basically want to serve. And we as parents in our families and as leaders in the church need to constantly be looking for ways to help them to have the satisfaction of being a servant of Jesus, even in the teenage years and preteen years. There's another side to the coin. Another word that I hear used a great deal in talking about the younger generation is the word freedom. And sometimes young people almost get on my nerves with some of the things that they say along this line. I don't want to be tied. I don't want to be tied down. I have too many restrictions. And there is that side where you want freedom. And you want to grow to where you can have more freedom, and you deserve to grow to where you can have more freedom. But young people, there's another side of the coin, and that's the idea of commitment. And I know there's a tendency on the part of all of us to think, well, a young person just cannot be and is not as committed as older people. Not necessarily so. I don't buy this idea that you've got to sow your wild oats. I don't buy this idea that you've got to have a few years where you more or less give your life to the devil and then you turn around and give it to the Lord. I don't buy that, and I don't think you do either. There is the need for freedom. The Bible talks about liberty. But Paul warns in Galatians 5, 1 and 2 not to let our liberty become a stumbling block. And here again, I think many times parents and other older folks and middle-aged folks have misunderstood our young people and many times do not appreciate the fact that not only do they desire a type of freedom, but they desire a type of leadership on our part to give them some boundaries wherein they can work and wherein they can feel safe as they go through the younger years. There is the need for commitment. We're talking about commitment with our older folks. There's the need for commitment with our younger folks. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator. We need to commit ourselves when we are younger. You as young people need to commit yourselves. You're going to make mistakes. God's going to forgive your mistakes if you have the right attitude. But we're going to make some mistakes. And God's going to forgive our mistakes if we have the right attitude and obey His will in the right way. But young people, there is a need for commitment. There is a need for committing your lives to God. And I submit to you that it is only in that framework of real commitment to God and to Christ that you will find the freedoms that are important. There's another side to the coin. Just say no, just say yes. Church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Entertain me, but also let me serve. Give me some freedom, but help me to make the commitments that I need to make. And one more. We emphasize so much how important it is for us that are a bit older to be the right kind of examples. And I don't know that we can overemphasize that. Because there are younger ones who are looking at us, we may not even begin to have an idea how much that is the case. And we say to those of us that have been Christians for a few years, how important it is for us to set the right kind of example for the younger folks that are in our midst. And we teach our younger folks, as did Paul in 1 Timothy 5, to learn to look at the older men as fathers, the older women as mothers, the younger men as brothers, and the younger women as sisters. We teach them to look at these fine Christian examples, and there is that side where our younger people need examples in their lives. But there's another side to the coin. Young men and young women, God says He wants you to be an example, even in your younger years. Listen to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And then he mentions the things we say and the things we do, the attitudes that we have in charity and spirit and faith, and especially the way we live in purity. And he says, don't let anybody despise your youth. You be an example. You deserve examples, rightly so. You deserve to have fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles and Bible class teachers and elders and preachers and fine Christian women who are there to give you that example of what Christianity is about. You deserve that. But the other side of the coin is God wants you, even in your younger years, to be an example of the believers. And I can say to you tonight from observation and experience that I have seen the examples of young people many times lead older people to Christ. That's the other side of the coin. And I think that just sort of sums up what I'm trying to say tonight. As younger people, you deserve to have the examples of Christian men and women in your midst. But you also deserve to understand the need of being an example yourself. And think about what this can do. If we truly can bring the wisdom of the older generation and the energy of the younger generation, and all of us try to be examples to each other and help each other and encourage each other, committed to God and committed to service, we can be this oneness and this unity that is being emphasized in the theme that is before you. But none of this will work like it should unless we're Christians. Not just calling ourselves Christians, but being Christians. That's just another reason that we constantly remind every generation present, including those that are old enough to understand the plan of salvation, that God wants us to believe in Him, repent of our sins, confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and live with a humble, penitent attitude, holding on to Jesus, whose blood will continue to cleanse all our sins day in and day out as we live examples for Him. If you're not living that kind of life, you may need to come to Christ as together we stand and sing.